You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to Tuesday, 2 days before Thanksgiving. Hope you're going to have a good day that day, and maybe Saturday will bring some dreams coming true for the football team. I laugh because I don't think that's going to happen. Tom, good afternoon, Tom.
Good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I have a great show today. I can say that because I believe it's going to be great. I'll mess it up, but don't worry about it. Don't be too giddy on the other side of that screen that we have here, those glass.
It is a good show today, Steve. This is not hyperbole.
Yeah. Well, you know why? I think you might get a little giddy.
John Fien is coming on the program.
Just
and
right.
I'm a Buffalo Bills fan.
Yes, yes. So, hey, no autographs, please. No cheering in the press box.
No cheering. I have that book. No cheering in the press box.
No cheering. I don't cheer ever. Ever.
Ever?
Well, maybe once.
Even for a great play, doesn't matter who makes it?
Well, I say, when I see that, I say, wow, that's a good play. But I kind of do it a little more exciting than that. But I don't cheer anymore. It's sad. I'm not a big fan.
I understand. It gets driven out of you after a while.
Mm-hmm. 30 years of misery has kind of settled in.
Yeah. It. 20 years for me of working in and around sports, and especially in hockey, it's hard, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because you have to be – well, in your case, you didn't have to be neutral.
No. If I was calling a game, I'm rooting for whoever pays me. But, you know, I've worked for so many different teams that I didn't grow up rooting for all these teams.
Right, right, right. As long as they pay, they check cashes, baby.
That's exactly it.
You're happy.
Because it didn't always. Welcome to the minors, kid.
That's funny. That's true, though. I'm sure that's true.
It is.
Hey, how long do I have to wait to cash this? You know, well.
Run to the bank.
Be the first there. Yeah, so let's say this. He announced John Fina. He'll be here at 6:30. I have former KOLD news anchor Kevin McCabe on at 6:15, and have Rich Tomey at 6:45. We're all going to talk about the rivalry game here on Saturday. I'm bringing Kevin McCabe on because he covered the team down here for a number of years, obviously, and then he went to Phoenix to cover the ASU team as well as the other teams up there. So I want to just get his perspective on doing both. And then John, of course, played for U of A in the late 80s, early 90s. I covered him back then. I was wearing helmets that were made out of leather back then. And then Rich Tomey is obviously the son of the former and the late Dick Tomey. So not a bad lineup.
No, it's a good one.
Except that let's hope it happens.
Well, it could always be dicey, but we'll do what we can.
You never know. You never know. That phone's not ringing. That phone is busy. Whatever.
Hey, drop cell phones.
What's that?
Drop cell phones. Drop
that also too. Yeah, 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 yeah. That's true. That's true. You've been here 3 weeks. You enjoying your job?
I am so far. It's been fun.
Check cashing?
I won't know till the end of the month. We'll find out.
Good luck. Good luck. No, it's fine. You'll be fine. Ran to the bank.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's great. I'm glad I have you on my show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, you're keeping me awake. Just don't use that voice because you know what? Hey, this is Eye on the Ball with Tom.
I don't know if I could do Eye on the Ball. I think you've got the market cornered on this
with
one.
Eye on the Ball? Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Wait, should it be Eyes on the Ball? I have more than one eye.
Yeah, but they always say keep your eye on the ball, right?
Oh, yeah.
Golf or baseball or whatever. It's keep your eye on the ball.
Whoever started that messed up.
Or had one eye.
Or had one. Yes, yes, yes. I never thought about that. Never thought about that. So, you've been here recently, just like 3-4 years, something like that, right?
Yes. Moved down here in the summer of 16.
So you haven't had the chance to see the apathy that's gone on in this town?
Oh, no, I think I've seen it.
Uh-huh.
Just I haven't seen it over a long period of time.
Yeah, wait till you stay here. You plan on being here for a while?
Oh, who knows?
That's a good answer.
Who
you know
knows?
I thought you were going to say, oh, yeah, sure. No, at least that's an honest answer.
Now, life has taught me that you have no idea. You think you know, but you don't know.
Exactly. You know why you know this? You're older now. If you were like 22 when I was asking you this question, oh, yeah, I'll be here 2 years and out. Because don't you have those ambitions when you're young?
Sure.
You're going to conquer the world?
I was very certain of what I was going to accomplish throughout my 20s, and life had other ideas.
Yeah, no, life is a defeatist. It defeats you.
It's certainly a delayer. It will delay you.
Yes, yes. But it's worth it, maybe, sometimes.
Yeah, so I mean, so how long do I have to stick around to feel the full experience of the apathy?
Well, maybe two or more years of football, see where that goes. Basketball, we'll see what happens this year because they get on a real big high. They just do.
Yeah.
And then later on in the year, it says, oh, this team, whatever. But I think this team, I really like this team. I have a sports show called The Sports Guys. I don't know if you've seen it yet. Mm-hmm. It's on. Oh, you've seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, wow. How'd that
happen? Ray made me watch it.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding. I mean, he didn't make me watch it. But, you know, no, I'm trying to do my homework.
Oh, okay. That's cool. So we have this show where I speak the same way I do here, not very well. And we talk about U of A sports. And it's more about being realistic. And as I am here, and everybody's giddy, 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 giddy until then they start seeing things. I like this team, though. Like last night, I said I really like this team that mm-hmm. Miller has. We'll see how long that lasts. I think it's going to last the whole year because the pieces fit and they feel good. I'm not sure that they'll win the Pac-12, but they have a chance to do that. And that's all you need is a chance.
Well, I think, too, for me, I look at this team, and whenever you have either freshmen or sophomores driving the bus, there's just that element of surprise. You know, they may continue to get better. They may play where they are now, but they also might hit a wall.
Right, right. No, that wall is the proverbial wall, especially with freshmen. But sometimes they all hit it at a different time, so you can kind of avoid that. But guess what? They do that. But they're good. We'll see what happens. They're not going to be tested probably this weekend. And the people in the tournament they are in, they probably won't get tested until Baylor and then Gonzaga. And then we'll see what happens. So, but good to have you. Good
well, thanks.
You. What else is going on? Hey, hockey's doing very well.
Yep.
You're locally?
Yep. Tucson's doing well, but also the parent club in Phoenix is doing very well. They find themselves in a playoff spot as well.
Let me ask you, because you've been in that business for a long time.
Sure.
If the parent is doing well, does that correlate to the next level team?
Sometimes it's the exact opposite.
That's why I would think that more often than not.
Yeah. If the kids are doing well on the farm, a lot of times the parent might be struggling in developing the kids, and then they learn how to win at this level, let's say, because this is AAA, for those who might mm-hmm. not know. This is AAA. So you win at this level, and then you move up, and you can win at the next level as well, is the theory. But Arizona has drafted pretty well and acquired a lot of assets over the last several years, so now they're good up top, and they're good here in Tucson.
And that happens more or less often than most.
Yeah, you got to kind of go through some hard times to pull that off.
Well, last year was not a hard time situation, but it was not the year it was before.
Right.
The year before, because they went pretty far in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. They, and you know what? I mean, Arizona, they're a couple of years removed from their really deep run. But I think what they've done is they've flipped the keys to the kids and said, all right, we're going to go younger mm-hmm. and we're going to go a little more. They've always been a budget conscious team, but I think now that drafting and developing is paying off.
Yeah. You've been around long enough to know that the coach means so much to
a program. Oh, sure.
You could have a great team, but if you don't have a coach that guides them, mm-hmm. it's not going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I believe that they've got a guy in Tocket who's getting the Coyotes to buy in, and that system trickles down through to the minor league team, too.
I don't even know where I wanted to go with that, although you could probably read into it.
What the football are you talking about?
That was good. Don't try to take my job, Tom.
That, nope.
Hey, let's take the break and get a hold of Mr. Kevin McCabe here on the other side. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. Now on the phone, we have Kevin McCabe, former news journalist, TV journalist in Tucson, transferred to Phoenix and made the big time. How's it going, Kevin?
It's going great. I was laughing, though, at news journalists. News journalists and TV
I screwed that up.
Oxymoron.
You were correct. I'm glad you're self-effacing enough to know that.
Oh, come on now. But it's good to hear your voice and always good to talk about the Wildcats in Tucson.
So tell me, when you left, first I wanted to get a gauge because you're here and then you're there. You're covering this team for a number of years and you covered them warm and fuzzy. And then how was it the transition to go up there and do the same?
You know, that's a good question. I left in 1990. You know, I had a great time from 84 to 90 in Tucson at Channel 13 and made a lot of great friends down there, and even wrote a letter to the paper how much I'd fallen in love with the people of Tucson. And when I got up here, there was a little bit of friction. You know, people thought I was a wild cat, and I went to NAU, so I really don't hurt anybody. But I still made it a point. You know, I thought Phoenix, and I thought Phoenix TV. I thought, you know, this was the heart of the state. We need to, it's the University of Arizona, not the University of Tucson. It's the University of Arizona that we needed to cover them just as much. And so I still made it a conscious effort to cover the Cats, and you know, was there for the 90, actually in Lutz hotel room, right, in the 97 championship. So it was met with a little bit of pushback, but you know, that's just the way I was brought up, is that, you know, you cover the state. And did it for about, 20 some years here in Phoenix, and now I've moved into the front office, as they like to say.
Yes, yes. Now you're making extra money. People don't know you, but you're making the money, so that's even better.
Well, I've since gone back to Fox Sports Arizona and working in partnerships and sales. You know, they hire pretty young people on TV, and I'm none of those. But I still cover high school sports and do a radio show on Saturday mornings, and I try to give love because I've covered high schools in Arizona for 39 years and still know where AmFi is and have love for Bijan Robinson and Jeff Skurin. So I still have my hands in broadcasting a little bit, but still working full-time in the front office at Fox Sports Arizona.
So did you have a chance to go see that high school game last week up there?
You know, there were two games, and I chose to go to the other one. I'd seen Bijan play, and I've gone on record as saying in my 39 years, he's the best running back from Arizona I've seen. And what I've even said is the irony of it all is the three greatest running backs I've seen in those 39 years in high school. Now, they may have gone on to have better pro careers or couple, but in high school, their dominance was number one is Bijan. I'm giving him the title belt. But Kadeem Carey was number two, and Mario Bates is number three.
Wow.
And that's, you have Mike Mitchell up here and Marcus Bell and Mike Bell, and you've had great players, but those are the three greatest that I've seen in 39 years. And Bijan, man, and you see him, you guys know, you get to see him on a regular. I've seen him a few times. I saw him play Desert Edge up here, and I've seen him in passing leagues, and he's just a special human being, not only on the field but off the field.
Right, right. And neither ASU nor Arizona could land the guy. I mean, that is, if you're Bijan, guess where you're going? You're not going here.
No. And that makes me sad in so many ways. You know, and I know that the U of A and ASU are not sexy right now, but still, I wish there was some allegiance. Even though they're not sexy, a lot of those players still, you know, were sold on going there, even when these teams weren't doing well. And that makes me sad, you know, that we aren't keeping more of the great local talent home. But once they win, or if they're sexy, then these kids will stay and they'll play.
So, no, I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. So when you covered it down here, what did you think of the fan base down here and then maybe the fan base up there?
Well, it's really funny you ask that, because I've heard so much venom already this week up here. And maybe I was blind to it down there, but I don't remember the venom so much down there. You don't like ASU and all that, and, you know, ASU this and that, but it was not venomous. And maybe it was like classy was a better way to say it. And there was always, I think, you know, and also, Stevie, I was there during some really quality Larry Smith, Dick Tomey years, who had great respect for Bruce Snyder and coaches of that nature. So there was great respect. I don't know. I think there was a lot of class in Tucson. I think, you know, there's respect and love for the Wildcats and disdain for ASU, but it wasn't this cheap, you know, like the cheap comic with using, you know, foul language. You
right, right, right.
Do that.
Right.
So, and that's, I think that's why I fell in love with the U of A and the people there. It was, you know, yeah, I love a rivalry. I love it as much as anybody, but just do it with class. And I thought that Tucson and the fans and even the writers in Tucson, Stephen, you're one of them. You know those guys. We could just as easily have twisted stuff and turned it. I don't think it was in our nature to, and I'm all right with that. I'm going to go to my grave being really okay with that.
And this might be a foolish question, only in the sense that you have a Tucson show asking you this. Where did you enjoy it the most? What brought the biggest thrills? You covered some big games up there, and I get that.
You know, working TV or the rivalry, which did I enjoy?
Both. That's a good question. And both. Because TV, you know, this is kind of like Mayberry down here. I've said this all the time. And up there is Raleigh.
You know what? I had a blast. I've had a great career. When I came up here, I had the opportunity to go to the next level, and I worked for the NFL on Fox nationally as a sideline reporter. You know, I got an opportunity to cover World Series. I learned how to do it and learned how to be a man. And I tell those stories that the bricks in my foundation were laid with Larry Smith and Lute Olson and Sed Dempsey and Jerry Kindle, who taught me how to be a man. And even these, you know, I ran into John Volpe a couple of weeks ago, and I told him, I stopped and I said, Jay, I said, you don't remember, but, you know, I was a young, you know, impressionable sportscaster, skinny and good looking, by the way. And you guys taught me how to be that way. And I got to come up here and enjoy all that, but I'd learned how to do it the right way because of those 6 years in Tucson.
I'm verifying that skinny and good-looking thing. I'll be back to you on that. I don't believe anything people tell me, so I'll check.
There was about 5 minutes where I was skinny, I think, somewhere in my life, so at some point.
My window of opportunity was about the same time, 5 minutes.
Oh, man.
So did you enjoy, you know how it is. Here right now, it's like a lockbox to get information. You have to go and everybody shares the same. Don't you hate that? Don't you just hate that? I know it's not the same up there where you can get access to certain kids. You know what I'm saying? There's more access. It's just the business itself has changed.
Well, it has, and I think that, and that's tough because I don't know it. You know, I know Sean Miller's got a protective shell around those kids, and we were really fortunate because the access we had to Steve and Sean and Tom Tolbert and Anthony Cook and all those guys, and even as they continued on with Bibby and Dickerson, all we learned about the personalities of those young players, and I really love that. You know, Nico Mannion, here you go. This kid's really a fun, unique kid, and I don't know if he's been allowed to show that. By the way, he's got the title belt. You know, I've covered high school basketball 39 years, mm-hmm. and I took it away from Mike Bibby, and Mike's giving me grief about it. And I gave it to Nico, and you guys are seeing that. But yeah, I think that's everywhere. You know, I think Kevin Sumlin, from what I hear, he doesn't allow freshmen to speak.
Right.
But I want. I know.
And Kevin, that's the least of his issues.
Yeah. And I wish the best for him. I don't know if it's a great fit. And I, you know, you're closer to it than I am, but I'm real surprised. And I'll even say this with Herm up here, I have no contact at all with Kevin Sumlin. And here I've got my hand on the pulse of every high school player here in Arizona, and certainly here in the Valley. I've never talked to any of him or his staff. Herm similarly is. His recruiting coordinator, I know, because he played at Paradise Valley High School and coached here locally. But I'm surprised that, you know, you can't just go into these jobs and just expect it to work. You've got to embrace the community. And I think that's what all the great coaches have done. They're not there as this is a stepping stone or this. They embrace the community. And so I'm not sure that's going on there with Kevin Sumlin. But, again, he's got a lot more things to worry about than getting in touch with Kevin McCabe and connecting with the high schools in Phoenix.
Right. So did you enjoy your time covering ASU when you were there doing that?
I did. It was strained early on because there were some people there who thought that I was a U of A guy. But I still loved it. And that, you know, that Rose Bowl year with Jake Plummer and Pat Tillman, and Pat and I were pretty good. You know, we got close. And that was unique and fun. So I did have and Juan Roque. I love personalities, as you do as a writer,
right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
as a journalist. You love personalities, and they had great ones. It was a unique situation because ASU, they weren't the only game in town. You had Cardinals and Diamondbacks mm-hmm. and Suns, and so it wasn't an everyday occurrence. You didn't have the opportunity to get that close, but there were some good, fun people there. There's some good personalities. You know, basketball didn't enjoy much success, but I'm not going to say it was bad. It wasn't like those early years in Tucson, but you know, there were some fun years. That Rose Bowl year was a real entertaining group.
So, just I only have like less than 2 minutes, but you said Mannion has taken over for Bibby. Did Bibby take over for Sean?
You know, and that I have Sean third. I have Marvin Bagley in there. Only played a year. Sean Elliott's in there. You got Richard Jefferson and Jared Bayless.
Aiden.
Well, and he played for a club team. You know, he didn't really play high school here, so. it's tough for me to include those guys. I want guys who
totally,
you know, fat beavers in there and
yeah.
the big cheese Dave Feidel. But hey, I do have to say this though. Now I'm a U of A father. My daughter's a freshman down there, Chi Omega. So for all those who think that maybe I've left them, I've you know paying some bills down in Tucson, still get a chance to get down there, and you know still have a great. I love the mountains. I think the traffic's just as bad down there as it is here, even though I'm sitting on the freeway. But
you're so crazy.
I still have an affinity and a love for Tucson and the U of A.
Lastly, quick prediction.
You know, ASU is a pretty good young football team, and you saw that against Oregon. If they do all the right things, they should win easily. I'd say something like 35-17.
Yeah, that's a good number.
But you never know.
You're right. You know? You're right. In this game, we've seen it all.
A lot of them.
We've seen it all. Kevin, thanks for joining me. Take care.
Steve, great. Always good to catch up with you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. Thank you. Kevin McCabe out in Phoenix. We'll come back here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. And now on the phone, we have former U of A football player John Fina. John, how are you? John, are you there? I hope I didn't lose you. No, John, are you there?
Did you lose me?
I got you now, John. How are you?
Well, you must have had me on mute, like my wife does.
Well, that's no comment from me. I don't want to get her upset at me. Hey, good to have you. Hey, congrats on your son and all the success at South Point.
Steve, thanks. It's been really exciting. And, man, what a great season. What a great kid. And just it's like a dream.
Yeah, and going to one of those fancy, smancy, smart people schools.
Well, I can't help it. He's a fancy, smancy, smart kid. He's got like a 4.0 GPA, and he passes his advanced placement exams. He'll walk into UCLA like a semester completed. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, nice. Hey, it's been almost 30 years. Well, 30 years since you played here football. Do you remember those days?
Oh.
Do you remember those days, those great days that I covered you and you were just a kid, smart kid back then?
30 years. Holy cow. I remember it like it was 30 years ago. I do. I have vague recollections of some very high points and some extraordinarily not so high points.
Right. Well, actually, back in the day, that's when, you know, Dick was in his probably third year, fourth year. And give me a couple of quick fond memories of the ASU game. Was it one of those games where they wore those damn yellow banana boat uniforms?
Yeah. Yeah, it was at ASU.
Yeah.
And they came up for warm-ups in their maroon and probably white pants. And then they show up for the game. They must have gone in, and it was some big surprise. And then they had to undress, get dressed, and they literally looked like bananas. Of course, it's ASU, so I would say banana slugs.
Uh-huh.
And then they proceeded to just come out and get their butts handed to them. We just drove them into the ground like banana seeds. Do bananas have seeds?
You would know. You're smarter than me.
I think bananas are berries, too, if you look that up. So we smashed them like the banana berries they were. It was a great game. We kept running the same play right and left. It was like a stretch where we folded with the tight end and the tackle, and it was just 7 yards a clip nonstop. That was my junior year, of course, but less fond memories of my senior year up there.
Larry Marmy was the coach, I think.
That sounds right.
I can associate him with the yellow uniforms. Everyone talks about the rivalry, blah, blah, blah. How big of a deal was it for you guys, the players?
Well, it was extraordinarily big at the point when I got to the U of A, right? So it was Dick Tomey's my freshman year. And I think Arizona was on a 6-game winning streak in the series. So the mounting pressure every year was greater and greater. The game took on more and more importance.
You didn't want to be that team.
Well, and of course I was, which, you know, no fond memory of my senior year getting whacked by the Scum Devils up in Tempe. But there's, you know, it's a big deal. Number one, you know, you want to finish the season no matter who you're playing on a high note. You add in the fact that you've got this age-old rivalry, which is one of the bitterest rivalries in the country. And if you win, it's a good recruiting tool. You know, we need more athletes at Arizona, and we'd like to get them out of Phoenix. Phoenix, 5 million plus people, the sixth largest market in the country. And if you look around the NC2A, you see guys that have played at Chandler and at Hamilton and Saguaro and Pinnacle, and these great quarterbacks and skill positions and linebackers. We need to get those kids. And this is a step toward that.
Yeah, no question. Can I ask you?
You can ask me anything, Steve. You don't even have to ask if you can ask.
What are your impressions of the program today?
I don't do impressions. I leave that to Rich Little.
Oh, no. See, here we go. I hate these smart guys. So what do you think about Arizona right now?
So, you know, it cuts both ways, right? So everybody wants their team to be a winner, right? Everybody wants their team to play a great brand of football. You know, when I saw someone's name on that list of 14 coaches way back when, you know, he was a guy that I really rooted for. I just liked I liked him when he was at A&M, and I looked into his experience, and I thought he was a good guy, the right guy for the job, and probably one other name on the list also rung true. But, you know, he got the job, and, you know, you're kind of playing this game where you're recruiting the last staff's kids. And the last staff was sort of embroiled in some scandal, if you will, right, wrong, or indifferent. So you've got a situation where maybe players are leaving, players are disenchanted. So Kevin's had one recruiting class, as far as I'm concerned. And that's not to disparage the kids that signed on his first year. Mm-hmm. It's hard to play defense in the Pac-12, you know, with all the spread and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
They probably need to improve at three or four positions on both sides of the ball. And those kids are hard to get. I mean, I'm watching the Western Michigan, Northern Illinois game. Thank God the MAC is playing football on Tuesdays and Wednesdays now. There's football every night, Steve.
I know. You must be in heaven.
Oh, it's incredible. My wife's thrilled, too. Listen to her. She's...
Well, let me say they missed on your kid. They missed on one of your kids, all South Point's kids.
Sorry to get off track. Not really. But it's hard to recruit, right? So I think Kevin takes the job. You know, he hires the available staff, and it takes a year or two to figure out which guys are the right positions on the staff. Some guys got to go. And it takes a while. How would we ever know if the class that just signed had, you know, extraordinary players under Kevin Sumlin if he's not around to see it? So,
no, you're right. You're right. And then the next coach, well, he's playing with Kevin Sumlin's players, and look what would have happened.
Right. So, I get this question a lot. How could you let your son go to UCLA and not go to Arizona?
Right.
And I ask them, I look right into their face and I say, what's the upside of me telling my kid where to go? And if he has any bad experience whatsoever, he's going to lay that at my feet. So where's the upside in letting Kevin Sumlin go after, you know, 2 years, after 3 years? I don't think a coach that really has a chance to even make a mark with his program, with his guys, with the right staff, fitting into the community, and really getting his feet wet recruiting for at least 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, everybody's got an opinion, right?
Right. No. And this is one I was not expecting from you, which is a good thing. You know, give the guy some more time and see what he does.
Wait. What were you expecting from me, Steve?
Well, I've talked to a number of you ex-guys, and they're not happy.
Well, I'm not happy. I don't want to be, 4-7? Of course I'm not happy, but I'm a realist. It's hard to win a football game. It's hard to win in this conference. And, you know, I don't go out there every day and assess the talent like the guys that get paid to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want to go out there and assess the talent and get angry and get pissed off about the quality of the player, the players, or anything like that in between, then I ought to fill out my resume, go apply, and start taking a paycheck. And, have those kids pay my mortgage. But until then, I'm just going to be pragmatic about it. I'm going to root kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to root for coaches. I'm going to root for my alma mater. And I'm going to understand that, you know, these things take time. And if he's not the right guy, well, you know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'm going to like him.
In time. In
yeah.
time. Yeah, yeah.
And hey, listen, I love football. I love my alma mater. I want to win. I want to go to the Rose Bowl. We've been talking about it for 30 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to be honest with you. You know, the outcome of a football game has never fed the world or cured cancer.
You are correct.
You know, come to the damn game, watch, you know, see some exciting football plays from extraordinary athletes, have a good time, and, you know, enjoy the Tucson atmosphere.
Yeah.
Now, the Pac-12, I'm not a huge fan of. I mean, as far as the way it's managed, I just think, you know, in the SEC, those games are played outdoors at 1 o'clock, and you can't tell me that the weather is gorgeous, beautiful, and cool in August in Clemson or Alabama or Ole Miss or Mississippi State or Auburn. I mean, those places, that's like being in a, not in an oven like in Tucson, but it's like being in a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
At 160 degrees.
Right.
So, I mean, I'd love to see the fan base show up a little bit more. I don't get too far into the weeds, but again, I'm going to root for Arizona football. I'm going to be torn when they play UCLA, of course.
Right, right, right. Hey, let me change subjects real quick. I know you met Tom real quick. He tell you he's a Buffalo guy?
Yeah, he's from Lackawanna. You don't get more Western New York than Lackawanna. I mean, holy cow.
And he said that, I didn't know that Parker's nickname was what, Tom?
Bubba.
Bubba.
It was an ill-fitting nickname, actually, which is kind of funny. I don't know how they came up with that. It was sort of institutionalized by the time I got there. I think they used it as a derogatory kind of a slur. So, you know, Glenn is clearly not a Bubba, super smart guy, and it's kind of funny, actually.
Yeah. What would have been a more appropriate nickname?
I only nicknamed my children. So I don't want to, you know, I don't know. You know, another one of his nicknames, and I got the, I think, so Glenn's really smart, and he's very knowledgeable, extraordinarily well-read, knows his history, and when people would ask a question and Glenn knew the answer, you know, he ended up a little bit like, he got the nickname Cliff Clavin from Cheers, right? Because Cliff Clavin knew the answers to everything there, you know? And then I got there, and they realized I was almost as annoyingly smart as Glenn, so I was like Cliff Clavin Jr.
That's about right. That's about right. I remember covering you both, you know, the smartest guys in the room. That's why I enjoyed talking to you guys.
It sounded like a compliment, Callahan, but really it was an insult.
No, I'm the one that said it. I'm totally serious about it. Every time you come on the show, every time you come on the show,
the subject with you, Rivera.
Wait,
what's your take on Arizona football?
Oh, I think they're in trouble. They're in trouble.
Yeah, well, sure, they're in trouble. They're 4-7, and they've had some nasty losses. But, I mean, do you want to cut bait? Do you want to fire a guy 2 years in?
I get your point, and you are completely correct. Do you want to give him some more time? You do, but where do you go from here in a train wreck that's already happening? I mean,
Okay, fair enough. Tell me this, Batman. When you let the guy go who's been here for 2 years, you got this massive buyout, whatever the hell that is.
That's a problem.
Sure somebody's got an abacus, is figuring it out right now. And then the next guy you're bringing in is like, wait a minute, I'm getting hired by a place that's firing people after 2 years. Yeah, I'm going to uproot my family and bring my kids, you know, to a foreign land. It's like Tucson's like living on Mars for people who are west of the, or east of the Mississippi, you know.
I hate talking to smart people. You always make great points. I always make great points.
Look, hey, if you want me to foam at the mouth and go crazy, then I'll apply and get accepted to ASU. And, you know, immediately I'll have to reduce my IQ by probably 20 to 60 points. So I'm somewhere in the middle double digits.
You're a mean man. You're a mean man, John Fina.
Well, look, I don't like those guys. And, you know, dirty little secret, nobody's listening to the show. Right?
I mean, very true.
Dirty little secret, my daughter goes to ASU.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, you're right, a dirty little secret. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks for joining me. Always good to talk to you.
Geez, hey, we only do this once a year. I'm having such a good time, and now you want to get rid of me?
I got Rich Tomey coming on after you.
Oh, well, at least I know who the headliner is. Del Callahan, I expect my bottle of whiskey.
I will. I'll let him know. Thanks so much, John. Right, take care, man.
Take care, man.
Good talk to you. That was John Fina, a smart man. Smart man. I always like talking to him. Let's take a quick break. Get a hold of Richard Tomey. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. That was fun with John, and I'm having a hard time finding Rich. Could have kept him on, you know, with his little one-liners and his, you know. But the most telling, honest thing that he said throughout the whole show was what?
Where do you start? I thought he had quite a few truths in there, but are we going to talk about firing a guy after 2 years in the football program, or telling his kid where to go to school? Because that's the biggest truth of all. If the kid doesn't like where dad tells him to go to school, who do you think it's coming back on?
I thought that no one's listening to the show.
No. I was not going to mention that.
No, but his point to having kids and saying this and that, he's spot on. He's spot on. I mean, you can't tell your kid go here and then it turns into a disaster and not have your kid talk to you for the rest of your life. It's very true.
Yeah.
Very true. All these points, you know, because you're right. Kevin Sumlin needs another year. He needs another year to kind of show. But if you get the same thing, then you're thinking, what? We should have done this last year.
Yeah. You know what, though? That's almost the risk you have to take, isn't it? Is if you're going to commit to a guy and let him recruit a few years and try to build a program. But, Steve, at least from the discussions we've had, I feel like you're getting the vibe that, and some other people have said this as well, that Sumlin's not buying into Tucson. He's not buying into U of A. And that, in a college program, that's hard to fathom. You have to bleed your school. Otherwise, how are you going to sell it to everybody else?
Sure, sure. No question. And that's part of it. I think there's a lot of different factors. And John brought up a number of different factors. The recruiting process, who you're going to get. If a coach comes in and saw that you had fired your coach 2 years in, well, why would he come here? Everything he said was on the money. And unfortunately, nobody's listening, so no one heard. But I agree with you. I totally agree with you. John, a smart, smart guy. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Give him some time. I think if it's a huge defeat on Saturday night, we could be hearing some things. Maybe not, we'll soon see. And he has, what, 3 more years on that contract, of a 5-year contract. Maybe something will happen. A lot of strange things have happened in this game, and the underdogs have usually been able to pull it off. I was surprised. I saw today that the spread is 12.5, which is a lot less than I thought it would be. So who knows? And it's on the road. It's at Tempe. So we'll see what happens. Greg, we have a call. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, Stephen. You know, it was fun listening to you with Kevin up in Phoenix. I mean, you do a good interview. I like, and you got listeners. I mean, sure, I have to drive to Ajo and, you know, near the MBD station to get the station. But I don't mind doing that.
No, great. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hey, I got a question for you. So, no, I'm a big fan of NBA ball.
Wow, you're the guy.
Now, you know you watch it too. And I'll admit, you know, I don't mind admitting when I'm wrong. But when LeBron went over to the Lakers, I thought, like so many people, about, all right, so that first season, you know, they're going to struggle a bit and they're just getting ready for next year. But what are they now, 8-0?
No, they've lost a game or two.
Oh, okay. But the point being, they put together, I should say LeBron put together a nice group of folks. And how do you feel? I mean, Golden's what I was getting at, though, is Golden State. How could you not be a fan of Steph Curry and that team?
Yeah.
But I think they've won enough. And now I want to see, I just happen to like the Lakers. I like LeBron. Melo just got hired. Where is he playing now?
Portland.
Yeah, I've always liked that guy, too. They're just fun players. Who's your NBA team.
I don't. Well, I've always, not always, in the last few years, I'm a front runner. Hell, I follow Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. I haven't followed them much because for obvious reasons. But I don't follow the NBA. I don't know too many people that do in the regular season. I wasn't joking, Greg, when you said you follow the NBA. Because who? It's a long season. You know, I used to cover the NBA for The Citizen a long time ago, and I covered the Bulls when Steve Kerr played there and Judd Bushler and Brian Williams, and that was a lot of fun for me. And Sean Elliott, when Sean was in San Antonio, I traveled there. But now I really don't. I follow it to see Luke and to see Steve coach and see some of the guys. But my connection are from the old-timers, from the Lute Olson guys, not the Sean Miller guys, because I don't know them that well.
You know, when Luke's dad was calling a game, when Bill Walton would call a game with his son in it, mm-hmm. his son would get the ball, like, right in his hands. I mean, right there in his chest, he missed his shot. And Bill Walton said, now give a guy a ball he can shoot with. Oh, don't throw him that garbage.
Right. Greg, so hey, do you listen to me every now and again, or what?
No, actually, I'm not a regular listener to you, but, you know, when I'm over here like this, and I was telling Tom off the air, you give the guy across the glass a chance to respond and talk to you, and that's good radio. You know, Dan Patrick, you know, when he does that with his crew in the morning, mm-hmm. That's the kind of show, speaking for myself, I like, you know, and, you're pulling it off, man. You really are. Apparently, you're older than you sound, because you were talking about covering the Wildcats at the turn of the century. I think.
Right, leather helmets. I'm also better looking than I sound. So just for that, Greg.
You know. Gotcha. Well, listen, we're coming up close on the end of the hour. But keep up the good work, Steve.
Great. I appreciate it. Thank you, Greg. Thanks for calling in. I guess there's one person with the phone number, 790-2040. Rich Toby didn't have it. Damn him. I'm going to have to get him on tomorrow. Yeah, I still have some slots open tomorrow, because tomorrow's the last day of the week for us as we prepare for the big game on Saturday. Who do I have tomorrow? I have to remember. The one person I'm trying to get is Coach Smith's wife from back in the day. And then who do I have tomorrow? Reggie McGill, former running back for the U of A. And I already see what happens when you get old, Tom?
No, I've had no memory since I was 3 years old. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, I have a terrible short term memory. It's awful.
Yeah, I remember back.
I got to write stuff down.
Do you? Really?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. If I don't write it down, it's gone. And even then, sometimes I don't know where I put it when I write it down. I can't remember.
That happens to me, too. Unless it's, I have a messy desk, but I know exactly where everything is.
That's how I am.
But if once somebody moves something, I'm like, I freak out.
I'm lost.
I know I had it here.
Yep.
And it's not there.
You know who you don't have tomorrow?
Who?
Me.
Oh, you're not here tomorrow.
I am not here tomorrow. So happy Thanksgiving.
I have Tom, too. Or one, whichever one you want to describe him as.
Yeah, whichever. I'll take any number.
Okay. Well, I have some good guests tomorrow. And then they're going to replay my yesterday's show with Greg Hansen and Lamont Hunley on Thanksgiving Day. And then Friday, they'll probably replay this one. They'll get to listen to John Fina tell me and put me in my place. I like that, because John does that every time I see him.
Well, he's definitely got some opinions on things,
too.
Oh,
yeah, everything.
So.
Since he's been a little kid, probably.
Yeah.
Because at U of A, he was like that. You are who you are. You don't change. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to be the same way.
And he still refers to the program as we.
We, yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of love there still.
Sure.
And I didn't think that he would say that about Kevin Sumlin and the coaching situation. But he, you know, he was very adamant about it.
And again, as he said, it cuts both ways. It makes sense.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you don't give a guy enough time, what is he really established? And then the flip side of that is, you know, it's such a what have you done for me lately position when mm-hmm. you're a coach at whatever level.
And there's a no-win situation for all parties.
Yeah.
You know, except for and the money. Because if you got to get rid of them or want to get rid of them, you have to pay the money.
Yes. That's expensive.
You have money? Can I borrow a dime?
No. Well...
We're in this business. We know the answer to that.
Yeah, I'll pay you for I'll pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. Except today's Tuesday. Darn it. Ugh.
Yeah.
Loop myself in.
Yeah. No, we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll try to get Rich tomorrow if I don't get Mrs. Smith on the phone tomorrow afternoon, like 6:45. I know I have Reggie McGill and I have another UA player, and I just can't remember who it is.
Well, Steve, let me ask you, what do you think of for the game this weekend, ASU?
Defeat. Mm. I said, I think on my sports guy show, something like 40 to 10, something like that. It's not going to be that. It's always one crazy, fluky game. And sometimes the underdog wins. Oftentimes the underdog wins. But I just don't see it happening here. I got an email from somebody. I have about a minute, right?
Less than 30.
I got an email from somebody in August. I was being too negative on the team. And I understood that. But I said, you know what? This is just how I feel. They're not any good. They don't have the players. They don't have the depth. They don't have a lot of things. And, well, sorry to say, I've been kind of right. It doesn't happen very often. Sorry. So I'll see you next week.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time away from me. That's Thanksgiving enough.
Well, thank you. Same to you and your family.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you guys Monday.